This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And at 5:45, it's our triple option feature. Steve Geller will join us. A little after 5:20, Pete Jenkins, legendary defensive line coach, on with us to talk about Bo Davis and also some of the defensive linemen in this draft class. Charlie, before we talk a little bit of LSU baseball, let me answer a couple of texts. One, and I think I answered this yesterday, but he might not have been listening. Mike, anyway, Jack Sawyer, I hope he slips to the Saints in the second round. Would that be possible? I think that's a chance. Now, in a loaded area, which defensive line, got a lot of guys there, I think they have some distance, so to speak, with them. A lot of times you see them last a little bit longer than you might think they would last in the draft. My thing with Jack Sawyer, he reminds me a lot of his style of play of Trey Hendrickson. He's a little bit bigger, filled out guy, a little bit taller, but a five-star recruit. Actually, Ohio State thought about moving him to tight end, because he played some of that in high school. But, man, every time you watched Ohio State play, he was a playmaker. And they were trying to chip him, trying to get extra people on him. Jack Sawyer is a really good football player, and he's in that group of players I've got ranked from 24 to basically 40, with almost the exact same grade. So I'm a big fan of Jack Sawyer, because he gives you everything he's got on every play, and he got a lot to give for his talent's concern.
Who made the biggest play of Ohio State's season in that playoff run? It was Jack Sawyer. In that semifinal game against Texas, where Texas is driving, trying to tie that game up, Jack Sawyer just cooks Connor Williams, the right tackle of Texas. And he forces a strip, picks it up, returns it all the way back down the field for a touchdown to put the game out of reach.
Over and under move, and pow, he's into the backfield.
He had Connor Williams shooting for ghosts at that point. It was incredible. But Jack Sawyer, I love him as a prospect, Mike. He's a first-round pick, in my opinion. I would love to see him potentially fall to the Saints at pick 40. In my first mock, I had him going to the Detroit Lions at pick 28. I don't know if he's going to fall into the second round. If he does, I think that would be a great fit. But we'll just have to kind of see. I loved your comp for him yesterday, by the way, Mike, where you kind of said Trey Hendrickson. Yeah,
it's close.
Is the type of motor that he's got. Jack Sawyer, a fantastic edge prospect and a great defensive line class.
I got this yesterday right as I was leaving, and someone asked me about Woody Marks, the halfback from USC. Now, a lot of people remember Woody because he played at Mississippi State.
Right.
He was a transfer guy. Man, Woody Marks, he is getting undervalued for the type back he is. shifty, fast. He can hit the edge. He runs hard in between the tackles. He's a terrific receiver coming out of the backfield. And so he's one of those halfbacks in the middle rounds of the draft that I would keep a real close eye on, because Woody Marks is a really good football player. He's not getting a lot of love, so to speak, because there are other guys that may be a little bit bigger, a little bit faster. Woody Marks is a football player, and the fact of the matter is that he can run with power, he can run with speed, he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He was a major part of that offense for the Trojans last year. And being that dual threat guy that's not only giving you problems as a runner, but also as a receiver coming out the backfield, he's a big-time mismatch if you're trying to cover him with a linebacker or a safety. Big-time mismatch.
So I'm all for taking a running back in this class, because we talk about this all the time, Mike.
And he would be a good fit with the Saints.
You want to build your roster through the strengths of a draft. This is a loaded defensive line class. You got to get at least one defensive lineman. It's also a loaded running back class. And, Mike, you've also mentioned day two is going to be the day where a ton of running backs start peeling off the board. Like, I'm going to be interested by the end of it, you know, late April, once we're done with the draft, count how many running backs get selected in rounds two and three. There's going to be that run on them. I don't know how many are going in day one. Ashton Jeanty obviously is going to be a first-round pick. I don't know if Amarian Hampton's going to be. I know Daniel Jeremiah had three running backs going in round one in his latest mock. I don't think it's going to be that many, because teams know how good this running back class is, and there's like 10 guys that could potentially go on day two. If, of course, one goes on day one, you're going to see a ton peel off. And maybe the third round, because the Saints do have an extra third round pick as part of the Marshawn Lattimore trade, is where the Saints can target a running back in this class. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Charlie, last night, LSU took care of business against a really good Dallas Baptist team.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about it, that this would be a big test for LSU. Their pitching was just unbelievable last night. Now, the game lasted forever because the DBU keep pulling their pitches.
Yeah.
But, man, you saw the pitching talent on LSU's baseball team on display last night.
Yeah, we've been gushing about it, Mike, in the early season. And as you mentioned, on full display. D1 Baseball has a great tweet about it. LSU baseball's pitching staff has been dominant early. A combined team ERA, 1.52. Get this. A 0.74 whip. For those that don't know what whip is, walks and hits per innings pitch. It's less than one. They're not even allowing a runner on base every inning. A 36.3% strikeout percentage, a 6.8% walk percentage, which when we had Scott Sanders on last night, he said that's been the key. The strikeout to walk percentage has been elite so far for LSU. And a 143 batting average allowed. As a staff, that's not just like one ace. That's your entire pitching staff early on this season. They've been outstanding. And Dallas Baptist, to Jay's point, to Jay Johnson's point, they're going to win 40-plus games this year. They're going to be a top 25 team all season long. They have an elite squad. And their offense has popped. They call them the Dallas Bombers when they're going nuts. And they got a couple last night. You know, they got a hold of a couple. But that was it. Outside of that, LSU gave up three hits last night, Mike.
Yep.
Dallas Baptist, who has a very strong offense, went 3 of 30 at the plate. LSU's pitching staff, which was Connor Ware, who Jay has also gushed about as being one of the best pitchers on the staff, he's a midweek starter for this team. I would hazard a guess that he would be a weekend starter at 90% of other programs in the country. Behind him, Zach Cowan is a bullpen pitcher for this LSU team. People will forget, Zach Cowan was the ace of a Wofford staff that made the NCAA tournament this past year. He comes to LSU and he's a midweek bullpen pitcher. And then Kaysen Evans, the freshman, gets the save with two hitless innings.
Yeah.
I mean, it was as impressive a performance as you've seen all season long when, you know, it was hyped up, Mike, because it was a top 20 matchup, one of the best midweek matchups of the season on paper. And LSU was just in control. They took the early lead. The pitching staff really handled Dallas Baptist offense. And, I mean, yes, if you're going to kind of nitpick here, LSU left a lot of players on base last night. And they missed a couple opportunities, but at the same time, did you ever feel like that game was in reach for DBU?
Never.
As soon as they went up 5-0, like, yes, DBU answers with a 3-spot, but at the same time, you just kind of counted on LSU's pitching to kind of lock them down, and that's exactly what they did. Mike, the reason we're so bullish on this LSU baseball team is that pitching staff will play anywhere. I mean, you get to SEC play, LSU is going to have a lot of pitching advantages against some of the best teams in the country. And that's why they're the number two team in the nation right now.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and my old buddy Pete Jenkins, legendary defensive line coach, talking about Bo Davis and also some of the defensive linemen in this 2025 draft class right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the legend himself, Pete Jenkins, defensive line coach and all of 28 years.
Wait a minute now.
28
careful.
Years old, Pete. How about that?
Careful. I didn't know what you were going to say, Mike. Well, defensive line coach and
I'll cut you careful. A little bit of slack. I'll cut you some. They cut it with me, so I'm going to cut you some. Coach, I know you always talk about, as a coach, you really a teacher. That's your job. If it's out on the practice field or during games, you're a teacher. And Bo Davis getting the job with the Saints. Now, he's had some experience before in the NFL with the Lions, and he was with Jacksonville for a year. But I know you've always praised Bo to me. And doing an interview with Bo a few years back, I said, you know, who was the guy that influenced you the most? He said, see that little short guy with the white hair? That's him, Pete Jenkins. He's the one. So give us a little bit about Bo Jenkins, about Bo Davis, and about how well you think he will handle things at the NFL level, because it is a different type athlete now.
It is. I think, Mike, first of all, I think he's going to do very well. I was sad that he would leave LSU, but I was happy he went to the Saints. You know, it was kind of a mixed bag with me. And it wasn't an easy decision for Bo. We've been talking about this over a week. And it was really funny, Mike. He called me, and it was about 10:30. And as you know, I'm usually asleep about at 10:30 at night, you know. But he woke me up, and he said, "Coach Pete, I need to talk to you about something." And he realized I was about half asleep, which I was, maybe whole asleep. But anyways, he said, "I'll call you in the morning." And we hung the phone up or put the phone down, you know, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I told Donna, I said, Bo's got something on his mind. So I called him back and we talked. And we talked a couple of times about it last week. It wasn't, what I'm saying to you, though, Mike, it wasn't an easy decision for Bo. He put a lot of thought into it and really, you know, he was excited. But he the boy played here, and he loves LSU, and it was a tough decision. He'll do very well, though, Mike. He gets along with the players good. I talked to Coach Kelly Monday, and he told me, he said, you know, Bo did, under the circumstances, Bo did a tremendous job here. And he said, you know, Bo, the players really responded to Bo. And he said, you know, he did a really good job. I don't want to lose him. And Bo and I talked about Coach Kelly. He really liked, you know, he shared my feelings about Kelly. Kelly was really good to me, Mike. And from what Bo tells me, Kelly's been really good to him. So I think it was a decision. It wasn't an easy decision for Bo to make. And I said, what about the money? And he said, the money's pretty close. Not even factoring in the money on the decision. So, but he will do good. I'm excited for him to be at the Saints, and I know he'll do a good job with those guys.
Coach,
now, you asked me about something else. So he is a Bo's kind of a rough looking guy. He's not a guy that's immediately friendly. It takes Bo a few minutes to kind of warm up to people and everything. But once you get to know the guy, there's a lot of depth there, boy. And there's a lot of, he's just a good person. He don't hang that phone up. He doesn't say, Coach Pete, I love you. And, you know, I mean, he is, that's just kind of the way he was. And his dad was military and was retired and taught ROTC, and Bo was kind of raised in a regimented home. His mama was a teacher, and they're both gone now, but they were good people. I enjoyed being around them when I recruited him. And, I'm very proud of what Bo has become. He's been a good father. He got lucky like I did and married a good gal. And he's been a good husband and a good family guy. So I'm proud for him, and I'm proud for the Saints, Mike.
Kevin Peoples is a guy you and I have spoke about. And a lot of people maybe don't know him. I think he'll play a little bit, certainly more prominent role coaching along the defensive line. But you've really praised Kevin Peoples for what he's been able to do with the edge rushers. And you saw it last year with Savion and then Braden Swinson. Listen, you could have gave me five names. Nowhere. Swinson, I wouldn't have been on that list.
He came out of nowhere. I was on the team with him the year before and hardly knew the guy. I think Kevin coaches the ends, and He's a very accomplished football coach, Mike. I mean, Kevin, I think Kevin's one of the best in the country. I told you, Mike, I said to Coach Kelly, you get those two hired, and you'll have two as good ones as anybody in the United States of America. And as you know, I travel around. I know a lot of college coaches because of the opportunity people give me to come to schools and work and everything. So, but Kevin is good. I'm really happy. I talked with him at length today, and they're doing a good job. I know guys that they're interviewed. They've been Zooming interviews with people this week, and they're going to do a good job. They're going to do a thorough job of getting a replacement for Bo. I tell you another thing, Mike, about Bo. Bo brings some quiet toughness with him. Okay. And by that, I mean, he is not, you know, he just has a way about him. Coach Saban told me he lost Bo to Texas, and then he got Bo back. And he told me once, Coach Saban told me once, he said, we have been a tougher defense since Bo has been back. And you wouldn't think that about, he's not a rah-rah guy, or it's just the demands. And I tell you, Cochran, you know the name Cochran, that he just got the West Alabama job.
Yeah.
He was a strength coach here at LSU, and then he went to Alabama and was the strength coach over there for years. And he told me a story, Mike, about Bo's first day back at Alabama, coming back from Texas. They were doing, at the end of the program, they were doing a tug-of-war, competitive tug-of-war, with the offensive and defensive line. And Cochran told me that the offensive line embarrassed the defensive line and had been doing it on a daily basis. And he said after they competed, Bo called the defensive line over. And he quietly said to him, that is the last time that is ever going to happen. And Cochran was laughing about that the offensive line had hardly won one since that time. He just brings some toughness with him, and he'll bring the same thing to the Saints.
Coach, so you're going to eliminate one name off that list, and that would be you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because listen, I told Charlie I might have to leave. I'll go drive you around in the golf cart. I mean, listen, I think we could maybe get it done.
Hey, let me tell you, Mike, it's been so funny today. It's been so funny. I've had texts. I mean, you wouldn't believe. You know the boy that played for us, Makai Wingo?
Yes, Makai Wingo, yeah.
First text I got this morning, he said, Coach, get them cleats back out. LSU needs you. You got to come back again. I wrote him back, and I said, Makai, trust me, I ain't doing it. The tank is too damn empty. I can't do it. I can't do it again. But I bet you I got at least six texts today, people telling me, you know, joking with me about coming back. And I know that's a pattern in my life, but I don't think I can do it this time, Mike. I think I'm too far gone. So this boy, Taj Lupoy, who is the defensive coordinator in Oregon, he writes me. It is what he wrote me this morning at 10 o'clock. And for the fifth time, the legend returns. Pete Jenkins, next D-line coach at LSU. Let's go. And I wrote back, ha ha. Not this time, my friend.
that's a great line. That's a great one.
I think I'm gone too far down the road, Mike.
But, Pete, listen, I'll be honest with you. I got about four texts, people saying this. Pete, I was like, wait a minute. I said, I will ask him, but I'm going to tell you probably a 98% no on that, because I know you and I had talked one time, and God bless him, Ed Daniels was with us, and he was like, Pete, are you ready to say never coach again? And you said, Ed, no comment. And that was like, wait a minute.
Oh, boy, I tell you. You know, I was the oldest. I got a friend named Rick Trickett. You might have heard him. He's coached for years. He coached at LSU one year under Coach Saban, but didn't stay but one year. But Cricket called me, and we worked at Auburn and we worked at LSU together. He called me and he said, "Hey, you just took my damn title away." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I was the oldest position coach in the NCAA until your ass came back to work." Don't worry, Rick. You can get it back as soon as the season's over.
Coach.
There ain't no place I love on earth any better than I do LSU. But the answer to that is anything I can do to help, I will do. But being the damn full-time coach, I can't do that again.
Coach, I know you spent a lot of time at University of Georgia and close with Kirby Smart there. Man, the one thing I give those guys, one, they can play ball and they're talented. But when they go to this combine stuff, they wipe the slate clean. I mean, you got some big-time athletes on that defensive side to football. Oh, my heavens. And those guys, I don't know who's training them for the combine, but they do one hell of a job.
Yeah, and they've been really blessed with some great athletes over. You know, you and I were talking about prior to the Super Bowl, and you know, Mike, I thought about during the Super Bowl. I said, you know, I wonder if Mike remembers that conversation we had, because let me tell you, Philadelphia has done a hell of a job of loading that roster, man. And I said to you, Mike, their offensive and defensive lines are, you know, they're better than the combination of both those sides of the ball. They're better than anybody in the NFL. And, you know, you and I mentioned also the kid from Milton Williams, the kid from
Louisiana Tech,
He had a hell of a night, did he not?
He sure did.
I mean, he showed off in that ball game. And he's a kid that I have had the opportunity to work with a couple of summers, you know, and I hope I get a chance to work with him again. But he you know, he was kind of unheralded guy. You didn't know much about him, but he has really become a dominant player in the league. And Rick, you know, Coach Reed, I texted him after the game, and Donna said, "What are you going to say?" I said, "Hell, I don't know what to say." You know, I just wrote "Sorry, Coach," because it's the only thing I could think. But he texted me, interesting comment that he texted me back. He said, "You know, I think in the long run, this is going to help us. I think we'll play like a hungrier team." I do think that the Eagles were hungrier on that night. And it showed in the game. I thought they played with more hunger, more want to, than Kansas City did. And, you know, I think Kansas City got a little spoiled and a little fat and happy and everything, you know, but he'll get it fixed. I say fixed. They lost one game and all that, but that was his reply to me. I thought you'd find that interesting.
Yeah.
It might be a blessing in disguise.
One of the things with this coach, I think it goes back to the fundamentals of football. Doesn't matter who you got at quarterback. If you don't win up front, you got no shot. None.
You don't. It doesn't matter. I mean, you have the greatest, and that may be the greatest quarterback in ball. But, you know, he was ineffective because their tackles especially, boy, they just couldn't keep them off of him. You know, it reminded me, Mike, of the year they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. If you'll remember, it was the same thing. Their tackles, Tampa Bay's edge guys, just kill their tackles. And he had a difficult time in that ball game. This one, and what impressed me about Philly, their tackles, their inside rushers, did a really great job of maintaining lane discipline to the quarterback. So the edge rushers would make Mahomes step up, and that's when he got sacked a lot, when he stepped up, because the tackles were so disciplined in their rush lanes. And it wasn't even close. I mean, it from the very outset, I thought the Eagles was playing harder and hungrier than Kansas City was.
Coach, before we let you run, I remember when we had you on last summer to talk about Bo making his return to LSU. You mentioned a story where he was at Texas and the Texas kids were kind of cutting up after a blowout loss, and Bo Davis was the one that stepped up and really kind of unleashed on him a little bit. I wanted to,
he did.
Yeah, and I want to get your thoughts. Like, do you have any other stories with Coach Davis? And because the one thing that keeps popping up every time you look up Coach Davis and this hire for the Saints is respect. Everyone respects Coach Davis. Everyone that knows football respects Coach Davis, and it's a slam dunk hire for the Saints.
Yeah, ain't no question. I think he's one of the better ones around. You know, so when he went to Detroit, Paul Pasolini, who's a name in football, you guys might be know who that is. He was a coordinator at Detroit, and he called me and he asked me to recommend somebody who I, you know, and I told him right away. I said, now look, if you want somebody to be pretty and elegant and get on TV and look good doing and all that kind of stuff, I said, the guy I'm going to give you probably is not the guy because he don't enjoy stuff like that. But if you want somebody to win the line of scrimmage against the run on the goal line and in short yardage and do a good job of pressuring the quarterback and doing a good job of staying disciplined in his lanes, Bo Davis is the guy you want to hire. Well, you know, Paul, you know, Coach Saban was trying to get Bo back at Alabama. And Matt Patricia would not release him. He had 1 year, and Matt had 1 year left in Detroit. They were about to fire Matt, and everybody knew that. But Matt had one guy on defense, and that was Bo. Paul had retired, and he had Bo. And Coach Saban called Matt personally and ask him to release Bo. And do you know Matt would not release him? He would not release him. He kept Bo there, and of course, they got fired at the end of the season. But he everywhere he's been, he has done a good job. And, Mike, you're going to enjoy watching him in Thibodeau in June, too.
Hey, I thought about that. I told Charlie, because a college coach, you can't come to the Louisiana line camp.
That's right.
These NCAA
That's
rules.
Right.
But as a pro coach, you can. So that opens it up. Last question for you. One of your guys, too, he just got on with Buffalo, Ryan Nielsen. And Ryan's a guy that I know you've been real close to for many, many years. He was defensive line coach here with the Saints. Yeah. He went with Atlanta,
and
Jacksonville.
Did a good job, Mike, and did a damn good job, too. He really did. I was happy for him. I got involved in that one a little bit because there were two teams. The Bills were one of them, which, you know, I worked with McDermott. McDermott was calling me trying to help him hire Ryan. The other team, the defense coordinator on the other team, and I were real close, and he was trying to hire Ryan. And so McDermott won out on the thing, but I think it's going to really help the Bills. It may be the thing that kind of gets them over the top, because that boy is a good teacher boy. He is really a good technician, and I was excited for him and everything. So, yeah, I was really happy for that, Mike. And he, by the way, Mike, he kicks me right afterwards and told me, said, get ready, I'm coming back to work at camp.
Okay. Because we missed him the last couple years.
His wife, unfortunately, has been dealing with some health problems.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
And that's the reason Ryan hadn't been to camp. And but he told me, in fact, he told me he's going to bring his little boy with him and everything. But he'd be there, and Bo will be there. So that'll be two real good additions to, additions. Bo worked there three years ago.
Yes, he did.
And Ryan has missed the last 2 years. I'll be happy to get those guys back, though. They'll be a real asset to the camp, both of them.
Coach, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon, man. And thrilled
always
to have you on and all your insights. And when you decide to come out of retirement, let me go. Let me know about it. I'll drive the golf cart. Charlie can run sports talk sort of by himself for the 2 hours.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Hey, y'all stay tuned and see, and I'll let you guys know, okay?
All right. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Pete Jenkins, legendary defensive line coach. And, boy, you talk about a connect-the-dots guy. That's a connected dot.
He's got connections with everyone.
Everybody, and they call in Pete, and sometimes he'll tell me, Mike, hang on. I got this damn head coach want to talk to me about something. He said, I'll call you right back. And then he calls me back about 3 hours later. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long and joined by Steve Geller. It's our triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, guys, it was reported today the league ownership with the NFL Players Association have agreed to a 2025 salary cap that is $279.2 million. What do you know? It's a new record. So where does that leave the Saints right now? Well, the site Over the Cap has New Orleans with $329.6 million tied up with dead money left over from the previous contracts with Marshawn Lattimore, Michael Thomas, and Jameis Winston. They also rolled over a little more than $2.9 million in unspent cap space from 2024 to work with this year. That means the Saints are now in the red by about $47.5 million. Now, there's still plenty of work to be done here, obviously, but that is a huge upgrade from like more than just a few weeks ago when everybody was talking about the Saints being $70 million over the projected cap. So 47.5, a lot better number to work with here. And I know Mickey Loomis and crew will be hard at work doing it.
Thank God they don't do my taxes or balance my checkbook. Charlie?
What do you say, Mike? It's the two stitches on the five-stitch injury?
That's all it is.
Yeah, how about that? Guys, I already used the stat from D1 about the LSU pitching staff, so I'm going with a little bit of a curveball here. ESPN Stats and Info has a really fun stat here, guys. Rick Pitino, the first head coach in Division I history to win a regular season conference title with five different schools. He did it with Boston University, he did it with Kentucky, Louisville, Iona, and most recently with St. John's, locking up the Big East title this year. Guys, St. John's, the number 7 ranked team in the country right now, and come March Madness time, that's a team to watch because Pitino, man, he's got an illustrious career, and you just feel like St. John's and the Red Storm are going to be a tough out come March Madness.
Had a texter ask me about Cam Scatabo, the running back from Arizona State, and I saw him at Sacramento State where he was as good a player there as he was at Arizona State. The competition was just a little bit different, but in where I got him projected, he would fall into that late second, very early third round pick, what we had talked about before, that day two selection. Not only is he a really tough inside runner, he's got enough speed. He sort of mesmerizes you a little bit in that you don't think he's that fast until he's running away from you. He's also a really, really good receiver coming out of the backfield. He's got some of the softest hands to catch the ball, and then he's straight up the field. And if he tries to run you over or he tries to run around you because he's that type of speed, I just think running backs are devalued a little bit and always will. I think big linemen, they'll always get the advantage there along with the quarterback position. But I look at Cam as a guy that probably that late second into the round three type selection, and he can do a lot of business. He ends up in Kansas City, that would be about right, you know, because they're looking for a guy that can carry a little bit more of the load than Isaiah Pacheco can, and he'd be a nice fit there.
Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, I saw a mock draft that actually had the Saints landing Scatabu. That makes a ton of more sense to me than using the ninth pick on Genty.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
And I think Scatabu had, you know, people knew about him, but his coming out party against Texas, guys, in the college football playoff was the real moment that, like, okay, this
kid's
serious.
He's going up against NFL players.
And he shined. He was fantastic in that game. So a lot of people are now projecting him. You know, the tape alone and the numbers that he put up at Arizona State, I agree with you, Mike, he's a day two pick. It's just a matter of if he's a second or maybe an early third round pick. But he could be in play for the Saints if they decide to use that third round pick if he's there.
Right? Yeah, and that was a thought when we were talking, you know, a little earlier about other backs and Woody Marks being one of them. Would Cam Scatabu still be around? Because I do think this draft, you're going to have a lot of offensive, defensive linemen sort of eaten up very quickly. Big man, hey, listen, the Greeks settled this years ago. Got a chance to pick a really talented big man, a really talented small guy. You go with the big dude, well, they're going to go with the big dudes. But Cam Scatabu's going to help whoever picks him, and he's a really versatile back. And one thing for sure, wherever he goes, he's going to have more jerseys sold there than the first-round pick guy, unless it's Cam Ward or somebody like that. Because that guy is going to be a fan favorite, and he can play football at the highest level. We'll be back to finish it off here on Sports Talk right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Want to thank Pete Jenkins, always a favorite of mine, and also the people that listen out there. They've told me, you got to get Pete on a more regular basis, and we'll try to get Pete on as much as we can. He does always got great insights in the game itself and connected to so many different guys that are coaching now at the collegiate and also at the professional level. Steve, tell us what you got going on at a little after 6:20.
Yeah, one of our favorites to talk to when it comes to hoops, NBA basketball writer Ali Cosell joins us, helping us preview the Pelicans' four-game Mardi Gras road trip. Back-to-back games in Phoenix starting tonight, which you can hear on WWL. 7:30 pregame, 8 p.m. tip-off in Phoenix on WWL.